and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 296. How are we all doing? Guess what? We're in a lockdown. Some things never change. How many days is it now, Mike? Pretty much 296, isn't it? Not even joking. Sadly, we are in another lockdown. Will you stop squeaking and making whatever other noises you're making? And make way for the queen of noises who has had no treats and not been played with.
She has been played with.
Not enough, Daddy. See that face? Guilt-tripping face. Not enough.
She's been outside for 10 minutes.
That doesn't count, Daddy. It's not enough. Right, who's in? Probably Jonathan. Is he number one? This is my question. Hey, no. Jonathan's number Paul's one. In. It's very quiet. Is it just you? Yes, he was at that point, Jonathan. I've got half a webinar finishing off here.
And I was playing with the dog.
And then he was making noises, wasn't he? Oh, are you going to guilt trip us? Are you going to tell everybody? What happened before when you disappeared? Are you going to share that? She had the temerity to yip once at Mummy. So, Mummy yipped back and she scarpered, didn't you? Remember who your pack leader is and who has the treats. That's always wise. And what I keep telling Daddy. Anyway, hello, Jonathan. How did your second day back at work go? Hello, Paul. How is it down under? Apparently, if you're a foreign national, finally, 10 months on, we're checking you on the way in for COVID. Good to know, isn't it? Good to know. Yes, Boris was on his hind legs. Boris promised a review on the 15th of February. Michael Gove then stood up and said, yeah, but don't expect to be out of lockdown before March. Oh, it's like watching Laurel and Hardy, those two. But what can I say? Oh, he's looking forward to Fridays, Jonathan. knee-deep in Keynote today, and all I could hear was your voice saying, I've abandoned Keynote and I'm using PowerPoints. Well, you're going to love Friday then. I'm actually writing an email right now before Tracy self-combusts. We've got four demos, two in Keynote, two in PowerPoint. But there's nothing wrong with staying with PowerPoint, as long as you don't mind your slides disappearing on a regular basis. That even happened locally on my Mac. I can't understand it, but it did. Paul says, hope you do lockdown properly this time. Well, so do I, Paul, but I don't rate our chances. You don't look at the list of what's been locked down. You look at the list of what's not been locked down. Elite Sport can carry on. Well, what's the point in that? They're spreading it around liberally. What other things weren't closing? Nurseries weren't closing. Daycare for kiddies wasn't closing. We've gone from having one in 900 people in the country affected to one in 50. One in 50 with COVID, up from one in 900. And apparently, you know, the mixing that went on Monday doesn't count. It's fine. Don't worry about it, said Boris. Boris is barking, isn't he? He barks more than you. Yes, barking mad Boris. Hello, Kim. Jonathan's excited because there's always the danger somebody wants something in PowerPoint from Keynote and it doesn't work and then they force you to fix it. Well, we're looking at templates and what they can do, and we're looking at watermarks. So templates stroke master slides. Got to mention the templates because some people get confused between a master slide being a template when it's not. So we'll do all of the language and stuff that's involved with it and then the demos of it. So hopefully you'll find that interesting. Why are the garden centres open? Now, there's another point, Jonathan. I have no idea. I wouldn't have thought a garden centre was a necessity because you're encouraging people to go out to garden centres. All of a sudden, they're Percy Thrower. They need to go out and buy things for the garden. It's January. It's cold. The ground's freezing, minus 11 overnight in Scotland. So not many people would be out digging. I have no idea why you would leave the garden centres open. And what happened last time when they actually, because they were closed, when they opened the garden centres, do you remember the queues outside B&Q? It was a farce. So just leave the whole lot. Just Stay home. I've rewritten their little statement they have on the front of their things. It's stay home, protect the NHS, save lives again. We're now recycling little taglines. But the best tagline is, stay home, help Pete. That's it. That's all you need to know. Just stay home. Oh, and then there's my bit, isn't there? Read a book. Get yourself educated. Read a book. You know, for most people, it wouldn't matter if it was Sooty and Sweep. Just read a book. I swear some people can't read anything these days, apart from Twitter. If it's not in 280 characters or less, they're not interested. Obviously we are. We're different, aren't we? All the MacBiters are totally different. If we ran the country, this would have been over by June. I'd have just locked it down. If you're not frontline worker, which obviously includes like delivery drivers and stuff, carers, but if you're not a frontline worker, you know, if your job is shuffling papers in an office, then you're not going in. If you're not a frontline worker, stay home. Full stop. I wonder how we actually coped in the war, because people are still rattling on today about their mental health. One of the questions to Boris was, what are you going to do about my mental health? And well, I won't tell you what I said, because you know my feelings on that. Stay home, read a book. It's not difficult. But, you know, in the war, I mean, if you are really, really concerned about getting it, then stay home, read a book. If you're a little bit more adventurous, then you can go shopping and things like that. Admittedly, you can't have your nails done. You can't have your hair done. But, you know, I'm not actually sure that should adversely affect your mental health. Not to that degree. But in the war, it was like a bomb could fall on your house and that's it. There's nothing you can do and you've got to live with that. And yet there was not a peep of mental health issues. I think, you know, looking back, I look at my gran and granddad and they actually lived through that with two children. How? Because the worry must have been every second of every day. And yet they never went on about post-traumatic stress disorder or anything else either. They just got on with it. Maybe we should all stiff up a lip and get on with it more. But who knows? Right, what we got on here? Garden centres open. Yeah, I close them. Is there anything else, Jonathan? Is there anything else you think's ludicrous? Because when I'm Prime Minister, I'll close it. Yes, and Jonathan was going to be Exchequer, wasn't he? Taking care of all the money side of it. That'd work well. Jonathan's thinking he will move after Friday. Well, let's see what we can do about that, Jonathan. You don't need a garden centre in the winter. Do you know, in the winter, the garden centres make their money from prepping for Christmas. And they had the opportunity to do that the 4 weeks before Christmas when we came out of the last lockdown, lockdown two. So the garden centres would be incredibly quiet now anyway. So it doesn't really make sense to me, but what do I know? What do I know? I get totally ignored on a regular basis. Government are just barking. So Paul says it's the exceptions to lockdown that get you. You've had an exemption for flight crew that caused the latest clusters. I would ground the aircraft. I mean, it says you shouldn't be travelling to work. So this is like in a car, on a bike or walking. You shouldn't be travelling to work. And yet the flights are still flying. Who's on them? Who is on them and where are they going? I mean, there are exceptions, like when Tracy had to come over because her mum died. But they really are the exceptions. And she would have got here heck of a lot faster with a heck of a lot less grief if other people weren't just, you know, I'm off on my jollies to Dorset. And you're thinking, poor Dorset, when you arrive. And they are now actually turning people round and sending them back. People are still going on holiday. It's January. It's cold. Stay home. Put the fire on. Something wrong with them. It's absolutely something wrong with them. So Kim says, my vaccine plan for Washington State. Call out the National Guard. Give the vaccine in all the school gyms. Use a driver's licence or their ID for proof of age. Well, that would be simple, wouldn't it? Is there a reason they're not doing that? Some of the flights are cargo flights. Cargo flights. Well, that's what happened when. Yes, I know. But you're going to have to wait, aren't you? Like a good dog. Pretend you're a good dog. She's looking at you. If I gave you a treat, you'd only want another one, wouldn't you? Do you have to learn to be a good studio guest? She looks totally confused. Well, what has happened to my princess status? Go and play with Daddy. Come back in hungry and then you can have a treat. How about that? Or you could just settle down in the warmth. You ever think about it quietly? Can you do that? Never think about it quietly. Still looking at me. Yeah, they allowed basically unmanned cargo. So cargo could go over to France, but no one could go with it. But with the flight, it's the crew, isn't it? Why can't the crew isolate or something? The more exceptions there are, the longer this is going to take. It is the crux of the whole thing. Hello, Simon. Did you enjoy Bongo Bongo last night? Do let me know. Hello, Mrs. Simon. Did you suffer greatly from Simon's reaction to Bongo Bongo? I've got a feeling you might have done. How about one of our Republicans? Is it one of our rep? Is that Republicans who travelled to Washington after being diagnosed to vote? You can't stay in the house for 14 days. We've got one of those, Kim. It was a member of... Now, is it... She must be a Scottish MP, but she must have been travelling to the House of Commons because she got diagnosed with COVID and travelled anyway. Not once, but twice. She then travelled back home with it. The Scottish Nationalist Party, of whom she is a member, I do believe, but don't quote me, withdrew the whip, which meant she'd been a naughty girl. And that was it. Nothing else was done. The public are up in arms over this. And yesterday or the day before, she got arrested. So it was like, yay, about time. So she got arrested for doing exactly that. Oh, Simon was appropriately vocal about Bongo. But Boris deserved every word of his disgust and frustration. Absolutely he did. I only wish we'd got to hear it, Mrs. Simon. He looked exhausted. He looked like he didn't want to do it, but he was being backed into a corner. And there wasn't even any of this, and we'll fight them on the beaches and it'll all be sorted in 3 weeks. He looked like this could take another 12 months and I'm tired already. That's exactly what he looked like. Oh. Now, representatives. Right, okay, got that, Deb. You'll say his address was short. That's much better than our politicians do. Do you know, Kim, we see a lot of your politicians doing filibustering. And they go on and on and on. They never stop. I think that's a fantastic concept. We have the same concept here. You can what they call talk down a bill by not giving it enough time by just yakking on. And that does happen here. One guy did that with the bill against upskirting. It was intended to make upskirting a crime. And this guy did not want it to be a crime. And he yakked on until he'd used all the time. And then it didn't become a crime. And the papers tore him a new one. He didn't do it when the bill came up again. And that is now a crime. But he did manage to talk it down the first time. These kind of things shouldn't be allowed. They're too anachronistic, aren't they? Yes, Lola. Did you not agree with that either? No, I didn't think so. A total doofus sent the kids back to school for a day and then spends the next 24 hours ignoring the criticism. Do you know that he was asked directly about that today? And I specifically listened because I was thinking, will he actually admit that was a stupid thing to do? He only had to just think about that one day earlier. Because he'll have blood on his hands. That one day at school will have such an impact. People will die. Directly as a result of that, people will die. And he's saying absolutely nothing. I noticed yesterday when the schools did go back, and you know what's worse than schools going back? With the parents all yakking together outside, ignoring the 2 metre rule. The press turning up and totally ignoring the 2 metre rule as well. And they rocked up at this school, and it was a school called King's Road School. It's about a mile from Old Trafford Stadium. I could possibly have gone to that school, but I went to the Catholic one. That's how close they were. And the parents outside were saying, oh, yes, it's very important that the children get to school for their social interactions. And you're like, well, they won't be social interacting if they drop dead or they bring it home and you drop dead. But that's what the parents were saying. And of course, today all the schools are closed. So that was fantastic. Good night, Jonathan. Absolutely ridiculous. Right. So Kim, telemed an appointment yesterday. A teleconference with your doctor. The hospital lost $500 million due to COVID. Wow. I must admit, I'm not 100% sure how hospitals work in the States, apart from what I know from Grays, which is there's a lot of money involved.
Did you read about that doctor who wrote off several million dollars of fees?
No. I didn't hear it.
Oh, it's in the States.
Well, obviously, if it's dollars. Why don't you share it, Mike?
I'll have to find it.
Yes, I know. Life's terrible. Poor girl. She's not enjoying this health kick in the new year. You are so tired of it. Oh, Simon's off again. Tired of it is meaningless optimism. I'd change it for some whiner. Whinger who knew what he was doing in a heartbeat. The thing is, none of them do. I mean, Keir Starmer just basically says the opposite of what Boris does most of the time. And Nicola Sturgeon just does it first. And this time, the Welsh trumped the pair of them because they've been in lockdown since before Christmas. They all just seem to be running around like headless chickens, I must admit. No idea. This hospital malarkey. I was watching one of those videos about urban decay, and it was this hospital. There was two hospitals, actually. One I could understand. It was impacted terribly by the Katrina thing. But the other one was, it was derelict, but it looked viable. It was huge. And they said it had been built in such and such a year. It'd probably been up there about 25, 30 years. But it was difficult to manage cost-wise. And then there was a buyout and a buyout and a buyout. And you're thinking, but this is a hospital that's there, it's built, it's got all the facilities, it's got all the equipment. Why would anybody just let it go to rack and ruin? And they did. And I'm thinking, that's one thing we don't see here. Some of the hospitals are poorly kept. I've been in those myself. You know, the one with the bullet hole in the window. Another one was I went to visit a friend in London, and I'd never been to this part of London. It was South London. And he lived in Kent in Tunbridge Wells. So this was the nearest London hospital for him to go in, and it was a serious spine operation. So I was going down to college for Friday night. I was staying over Friday night, going to college Saturday. So I decided I would go visit. I get there and it's like this huge sprawling hospital, absolutely run down to heck, but it was still in action. And I had no idea even where the front of the hospital was. So I seize this door and I think I'll go in this door as I stepped over a rusted pram to get past with a basket of flowers and chocolates with me. So I stepped through this open door, and this door was wide open, flapping in the breeze. So much so it looked derelict. So I stepped in and I looked to the right, and it said Operating Theatre 2 in action. And I must have been about 4 foot away from the door. And I thought, you're kidding me. And I had a quick peek through the window. No, they were operating on somebody. So I thought, well, it's probably not that way then. So I turned left and then went into the hospital. But they had this little glass corridor that went from the hospital to the operating theatre with no windows in. All the windows were smashed and this door flapping. And I'm thinking, I wonder what the infection rate's like. Just wondering as I step back over the rusted pram to get back to the car. But we don't tend to knock a hospital down without another one appearing. But this thing in the States, there were three of them in the end. And it was so sad. They were all cordoned off and stuff. But at one point they'd been working and they had all the equipment, and it didn't seem to make much sense. But obviously that probably happens. I just don't know about it. Kim said the children cases are in decline. That's very good. It is indeed. We got told today, officially for the first time, although we kind of knew, that the vaccine can't be given to children. It's not licensed for children. So if there was suddenly an outbreak in the children, which was probably what swung Boris's mind in the end, and when I say mind, you know, that thing that passes for one, that was probably it, because we can't give them the virus, the vaccine anyway.
Should we feed her?
Yeah, their grandparents died, but at least all the kids got together for a nice chinwag. They could have done on Skype. The kids would be happier on Skype, wouldn't they? The kids are like, oh, what? It's freezing, and you're going to drag me outside in this hat and gloves and boots and stuff. Right, you're having a treat, but only one. We'll have the little treat and then we'll have the dentistic treat. You are a grumbly girl. Right, so are we starting with this one? Oh, yeah, still not got COVID. Absolutely stinks. There we go. Bit for doggy. Bit for doggy. And then she drops it on the floor. Oh, dear me. Right, bit from mummy. And a bit more from daddy, your lucky dog. Deb had a phone call from your doctor too. Bad news. Oh, no, I'm so sorry to hear that. Scientific advisors are now espousing the wisdom giving more first doses rather than reserving second doses. The very point Tony Blair was being criticised for a few weeks ago. True, but I don't believe that. That vaccine, particularly the first one, the Pfizer, has not been tested in that way, with a bigger gap. They're saying the AstraZeneca one, it makes more sense to do that. But again, it's not being tested. That what they're saying is it's a top-up. But the efficacy of that top-up is going to depend on when it's given, and they haven't tested it. Ridiculous. But, you know, have you noticed, Simon, the only scientific stroke medical advisors that are there are the ones who agree with Boris. Funny that, isn't it? I noticed. Right. Kim's friend, orthopaedic surgeon, needed to make a living and his practice was so affected, not allowed to do surgeries, working at a gun store. That's ludicrous, isn't it? That's ridiculous. Unbelievable. Are the gun stores open? Are they essential? Or have you not got any of this essential, non-essential retail like we have? Right, get daddy to get a dentistic. Give them to mummy. Right, there's the dentistic. Oh, it's a red one today. You like those, don't you? They're your favourite. Red dentisticks. Right, now, high five. High five. Good girl. And the left one, not just wafty darts. Left one. Left one. Good girl. Right, we finally managed to do it. Right one 7 times. Go and eat it. And do not come back for more, oinky. Clearly Blair was listening to and advancing the opinion of people who were ahead of the game back then. I'm not sure. I can't agree with Tony Blair. I mean, I don't agree with Tony Blair on many things, but I can't agree with him on that. And it's not his place. What kind of pressure is being put on the medics from politicians with an agenda of their own? If he isn't a doctor, I'm not listening to him. And if you are a doctor, I'm very careful. I listen to you, but I'm definitely not listening if you're not a doctor. I don't think giving half to more people. I think it might work, but on the other hand, you're risking the fact it won't work at all and we'll have to start again. Just imagine that. So you take the first one, you're 70% covered, then it drops off, then you get the second one, and instead of taking you up to the 95% that was promised, it only boosts it back to sort of 60 or 70. Then it will still rumble on, and it will rumble on for longer. They're giving out quite enough vaccines as it is, not necessarily to the right people. I understand vaccinating the clinically vulnerable, but being honest, they're not going anywhere. So do you not have to do the staff as well? Otherwise, what's the point? I think care home staff and medical staff should be top of the list. I know in the States, Kim said they've done politicians. I mean, if anybody could be lost to natural wastage, it's politicians. But apparently not. No, they're going to be fossilised. They'll live to 160. Because they'll just take every vaccine going. Oh, dear, oh, dear. There was one person who used to go to those things, Simon, who's not been seen since she disagreed with Boris. We think she's still alive, but, you know, hey-ho. Talking of which, who saw the Russian thing, the New Year Russian message? Let me know in the chat if you saw it. It was a classic. It was a case of heads will roll. The thing was, right, apparently, I did not know this, Putin and whoever is in charge, but it's been Putin since forever, does a New Year message. I believe it's live. Sounded like it was cut short on the live BBC feed. Yes, well, the problem was the national broadcaster in Russia, somehow, and I have no idea how this happened, they cut his head off. You could only see from his chin down to like his waist, and he had like a black overcoat on. And he was delivering this serious New Year's message. And nobody noticed for quite a while. And then in the end, when they did notice, they couldn't do anything about it, which to me is like, well, just move the camera up or ask him to kneel down, one or the other. They couldn't do anything about it. So they cut it short and went to music.
She's back.
You're not having any more, girl. But what was funny about it was when the BBC were explaining it, which they did last night, they did it on this programme that used to be called 100 Days, or the first 100 Days, I think. And it followed like the presidency, but it's basically gone on ever since Trump was in. And I think one of them is a woman called Kitty, and there's a guy. And when they cut back to the studio, for a giggle, the camera crew on the guy had moved the camera down so he could only see his chin and downwards, and they were having a right laugh over it. Renee, I've got to agree, because what was said was the person responsible will be punished. And I thought, oh dear, don't rate their chances of survival. Oh. Kim says they need to follow the protocol. That's why they made them. I agree, Kim. If it's not tested, and now they want to do something different with it, it's like they'll kind of retrofit the data to match what they want to do. So I can't trust them anyway. So I think they should use it. Simon saying the point was that the course Tony Blair was promoting to much criticism was today announced as policy, seemingly zero criticism because it came from the chief Muppet. Double standards. Well, some of them did agree with that when Tony Blair suggested it. But he's got this Institute for Global Change or something. And you know, what is that? Because if you watch some of the videos on YouTube that expose some of these international whatevers, you know, these, well, charities, but it's kind of the wrong word. They're promoting all kinds of weirdness. One was Bill and Melinda Gates. And they were promoting birth control in Africa. And this lady did a complete deep dive on it over the course of like 4 or 5 years and found out that the stuff that was being sent over there as birth control, I'd know the name if somebody said it. Is it Primados? But basically it wasn't safe. It wasn't licensed in the States because it wasn't safe. And it said that on the packaging. And all of the promotional materials that they sent over with it was like where there's a hand holding it or a hand injecting it. It was a black person into another black person. And yet it clearly said on it, not licensed for use in the States. But they're prepared to inject it to people abroad. And this lady did a complete expose on it. And I thought, this is shocking. This is shocking. What is the 1922 Committee? What's the ERG? The 1922 Committee is the governing body of the Tory Party. Our MP, Sir Graham Brady, is chairman of the 1922 Committee. So it's the backbenchers, so the ones who generally in the Tory Party have less power, that collectively have a heck of a lot of power. So if they decided they were turning on Boris, Boris might not have enough votes to get something through. So probably the most powerful person in the Tory party is Graham Brady, our MP, who I do believe Neil went to school with. And my mother put straight when he came round and knocked on the door and asked what he could do for her. Yeah, he left with a long list and his ears ringing. That was 1997, the first year he stood. And he did get in and he's been in ever since. But it's not a position anyone can fire him from, I don't think. So he's in charge of that. You're grumbling again. The ERG. Is that the European group? What's the ERG, Mike? Is it in the Tory party? I think it's European. The European Research Group.
European Research Group.
So it's the Eurosceptic Tory MPs again. Is there any need for them anymore? Because, you know, Brexit and all that. So I don't know what they're doing about that. Oh, chairman, Rees-Mogg. Oh, for a year. So we've had Sir Michael Spicer, remember him. David Heathcote Amory, I remember the name.
Colin Bell's dad.
Colin Bell.
Yeah.
Footballer.
City.
Blimey, you weren't old.
74.
Oh, older than I thought.
Don't say if it's COVID.
They were just basically, how do we describe this group for somebody who doesn't know the Tories? A group of disgruntled Tory MPs who wanted to be out of Europe. Now we're out of Europe, I'm not at all sure what the entire purpose of this thing is. But it was formed 27 years ago, and it's a Eurosceptic group, founded by Michael Spicer. But now we're out, what's the point? I really don't understand that. But if they're still saber-rattling against Boris, then no wonder Boris looked ill last night. He did not look good. Global change stuff is total crap. Kim, perfectly put, succinctly and accurate. What global change? I mean, Tony Blair's British, so he's got this Institute for Global Change. Who is he to determine how somebody else should live in another country? That is arrogant in the extreme. And if it's countries that we would have up till now considered to be third world countries, in massive air quotes, even that's arrogant. It's totally arrogant. Leave people alone. By all means, lend a helping hand. But in terms of teaching them to fish, not dumping 10 hundredweight of old fish on them. No, I can't. I can't get behind the global change stuff. You know what they are? You're saying they're barely transparent. The 1922 committee, you do hear about quite a lot, but I don't think many people understand what it actually is. The ERG, I don't see the point of it anymore. Don't really understand the point originally. Because if you're... Can you belong to it if you're not an MP? No, a research support group. So I guess they're just finding money to create documentation that is anti-European. But why would we need that now? Maybe they'll go under. Who knows? Maybe they'll go under. Good for your mum, Elaine. Yeah, he made a big mistake when he knocked here. I thought he had the right idea of, like, you know, what can I do for you? But, you know, we've not seen him since. So, probably not. But, yeah, he had his expectations realigned, that's for sure. And mum said he looked like a little schoolboy. And he does, but if you've ever seen Graham Brady, he's also a dead ringer for Prince Andrew, which is not a good look at the minute, is it? He looks very much like Prince Andrew. Washington DC have passed a city bill. Children 11 and over can get a vaccine without their parents' knowledge, and the doctor can't put it on the medical record. Isn't that a bit off? We went through a similar thing here years and years ago with birth control. Can a girl under 16 go on the pill without a parent's knowledge? I've no idea where that ended up at all. I think at one point it was skewed towards the child, which a lot of parents didn't agree with. And I'll bet Simon's going to come up with a case that involved a Catholic mother. I think she had about 12 kids. You'd think she'd have had her hands full. And I think she took somebody to court to get access to her children's medical records until they were 16 to make sure they weren't on the pill. Oh, it rumbled on for years. I would say it was entertaining, but it was just heartbreaking, to be honest. I don't know. Is the vaccine that you've got, Kim, is it already approved for children? Because ours isn't. See you later, Renee. Vaccine news on the TV. We're going to get from next Monday. I don't know why it's taking them that long. I wonder if they're fiddling the figures. But we're going to get a daily press conference to tell us how the vaccine's going, how many people are vaccinated, etc. I'm wondering where this person is that was taken on to be an American-style spokesperson for the Prime Minister. They were taken on not long before Dominic Cummings left, and I think them being taken on and wanting access to Boris was part of Cummings' problem. And that ultimately ended up in him leaving. So I'm wondering where they are, because the essence of what we see from the States is a spokesperson. You know, traditionally, it went back to Larry Speaks, and I remember him because the Spitting Image made a real joke of it, that Reagan was losing it. So the guy who was the spokesman was called Larry Speaks, and the cook was Larry Cooks. And then there was Larry Gardens. The idea was he could only remember one name and then what the person did. But this person's taken on, I presume they're being paid. We haven't seen them at all, not even once. But the idea was that they were going to be like able to handle the media. I can't remember the person's name. I think it was a lady, though. Can you have a look for the spokesperson that got taken on by Boris to speak for him that's not been seen since? I guess it depends which vaccine it is, Kim, because...
Allegra Stratton.
That's the one. What's she actually doing now? Apart from not much. Because she's not doing much in the way of speaking. So unless she's working him like a puppet from behind, which could explain a lot, couldn't it, Simon? The kind of change in look and everything. Could have been a bit of body swapping going on. If your vaccines are Pfizer and AstraZeneca and Moderna, then none of them are actually approved for use in children. And now they're talking about giving kids half a dose, which if that worked, if it worked like they're half the size, we'll give them half the dose. Then shouldn't the vaccine work on body weight then? Or am I missing something? Because that's how they do other things, isn't it? Like anaesthetic and even other drugs. That's actually quite worrying, that, Kim.
Doesn't say.
So she's been taken on a spokesperson but isn't actually speaking.
Mm.
Ah, okay then. Marvellous. We're getting over here now as well that kids keep using their parents' phones for accessing stuff and they've not got enough data. And then they're getting bills and they shouldn't be getting bills. It should all be free.
Oh.
I've no idea where they think this is coming from. Kids have got plenty of data when it comes to playing games online. Can't they use some of that for schoolwork? And anyway, the way it works, you don't have to be logged on all the time. You can be logged on, download it, and then do it offline. And suffice it to say, most of the kids I've seen know way more about IT than the teachers, which isn't surprising. Oh, that is really good news, Kim. 6 days and no symptoms. That is brilliant. But she did have a positive test, didn't she? That's crazy, isn't it? How some people have no symptoms and others die. This is the weirdest disease. I'd say normally any kind of infection disease may take somebody slightly different, but not as different as that. And now they're calculating those with long COVID over here at the moment. That if it's 10%, and today 60,000 people were diagnosed with COVID, a certain percentage of the 60,000 will die. But if you take 10%, being 6,000 people over an estimated number of months, somewhere between 6 to 12, will be suffering the symptoms of long COVID. And once they've got the symptoms of long COVID, that's going to be costing the NHS to look after them as well. Totally agree, Mrs. Simon. You're not lucky if you caught it at all. I mean, the worry alone. Also, you may have no symptoms now, but down the line, you're looking at the long COVID again. Because nobody can understand what's going on with that. I wake up and every morning, the first thing I do is sniff something, like the dog's treats, and think, thank God, you know, I can still smell it. I think you don't realise how much smell is important until it's not there. And then you realise, oh, well, you know, I need to smell this and this and this and this. But I think it's one of those senses you just take for granted and don't think that much about. But you sure do when it's gone. And the taste as well, that must be quite weird. As I said, I've known somebody who was having chemotherapy and was just being sick if they tried to brush their teeth. They were so sensitive to tastes and smells. It was unreal. But it must have something to do with that, mustn't it? Ah, Kim's doctor says it depends on how much of the virus you get to begin with, his theory. Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, we had that 15-minute rule over here that since got bypassed because all bets are off with the new variants. But it used to be 15 minutes. So when you put your stats into the track and trace, that has never traced anybody to my knowledge, you put in how long you were exposed, how long you were talking. So 15 minutes or more. In fact, it calculated it in terms of if it was 5 minutes exposure with one person and 5 minutes with another and then 6 minutes somewhere else, then you're over your 15 and that's it, even though it wasn't in one situation. But it's just bizarre, totally bizarre. And you've also heard the loss of taste is very strange. I can't imagine what it must be like. Because if you think about it, anything that you put in your mouth and you eat, or even if you're a smoker, or those, what they're called, the vaping things. The vaping things have like flavours, don't they? Like strawberry and raspberry. So I can't imagine what it's like to be like eating something and it literally have no taste. Apart from pak choi, which I can categorically state has no flavour whatsoever.
So, all right, we've got fennel now.
Ooh, something with a taste.
And did you notice the fennel tonight?
Yes, I did.
Good.
I did. Very well done. Yeah, tonight's was particularly nice. It was flavourful and it had lots of different bright colours. Because we had peppers, didn't we? Yellow peppers. And there was the green beans. Oh, yes, it was a rainbow of a lovely dinner. Thank you, dear. he's patting himself on the back here.
I aim to please. Don't always get it right.
There is some research on viral load and how bad you get. It does kind of make sense. I'm wondering if there's like mini variants as well. Like in a hospital, if you were a medic and you were exposed to it, you might be exposed to a variant from three different people. And that might make it worse. But they don't know, do they? They literally just don't know. So Simon says the weirder thing is the loss of smell, in your opinion. You go from inside to outside. There's no sense of smell change between environments. It's disorientating. It must be really strange. And like I say, that nothing that you would think of. You wouldn't think about that. I guess the nearest for me, in terms of like you're saying, different environments, is when I've recorded something and then I need to record a piece to go between two bits. You really do have to go back to where you were. There is another way to do it, but the ambience of each room is so different. Not even maybe you can't hear it, but when you listen to the audio, you're like, that doesn't match. And it's hard to put your finger on exactly what's different, but it's different. What I try and do for piecing purposes is always leave at the beginning and the end of a recording about 30 seconds just for the room ambience. When you play that back, you can hear a difference. So I guess with the smell, it's a similar thing. You just never think about it until it's not there anymore. But very, very strange. Hit you when you got your smell back a little and walked outside and could smell winter. That's true. There are different smells as you wander around. You're quite right. It's a horrible, horrible thing to go through. It's also a horrible thing, like Kim saying, where her aunt's got a positive test but no symptoms. You're just waiting for it. Did anybody read about, what's his name? Jeremy Clarkson, who got a positive test and knowing he was of a certain age and in his own words, overweight, his doctor sort of said to him, nothing you can do, mate. Just go to bed and wait. And he got a book and he went to bed and he said he thought he was going to die in like a plastic tent. The diagnosis was before Christmas. I didn't think when I read this, he was actually 14 days clear. But I believe he's clear now. That must be horrific. You like you're saying with your aunt, you've got a positive test and then you're just waiting and waiting and thinking. I mean, like Boris, he actually did a video just before he went in hospital. He didn't look too good. He looked out of breath, but he certainly didn't look like he was dying. And then you found out, you know, he went in hospital and within 24 to 48 hours, he was, although they say they didn't put him on a ventilator, he was basically been done by hand, wasn't he? It was hand ventilation with a member of staff to keep him awake. But he was close to death. We were so close to having Dominic Raab in charge of the government. Which is that scarier than Boris? What do you reckon, Simon? Dominic Raab. I mean, I looked at the list of them at the time before they actually announced it would be Dominic Raab. And I'm thinking, Michael Gove. No. Who were the others I was thinking of? The health secretary, that idiot. The education secretary. And you're just thinking, no. They couldn't muster a brain cell between them, could they? But no, it was Dominic Raab it was going to be. Not at all sure about that one myself. What position's he got at the minute? Or is he like a roving ambassador? Who is the...
Secretary of State for Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Affairs.
Lovely. Why does that make, mind you, Boris's PM?
He was Secretary of State for exiting the European Union.
Oh, they gave him another job then. So yeah. So he's a real big chum of Boris, clearly. The Health Secretary, which one's that at the minute? Used to be Jeremy Hunt. The most appropriately named Jeremy Hunt. I forgot.
Mark Hancock.
Oh, of course. The one that looks like a baby. Looks like he's going to cry. Because they had him on an interview. You should have seen the state of him. He literally looked like he needed a break. He really did. Oh. Boris is an idiot. Raab is evil. Gove's an alien. Mog is just... Well, there are no words for Mog, is there? Do you remember when he had a whole following on Twitter? The Mogettes. It's unbelievable. The Mogettes. And they were like pro him for Prime Minister. I hope there's no way he's available for Prime Minister. After that incident where he put his feet up in the House of Commons. Because that was just disrespectful. On no level was that acceptable. Is the Daily Mail a rag or an okay source of news? Oh, Kim. Toilet paper. If you run out of toilet paper, Daily Mail is your best bet. It has a reputation for being totally better than the Sun, the Star and the Mirror. But the thing with the Mail is it's like propaganda wrapped up in and also the column of shame. On the website, down the right-hand side, there's this column and it's just trash. It makes the National Enquirer look like something valuable, this column of shame. It's just semi-famous women. I mean, most of them, I haven't got a clue who they are, in bikinis. And it's all about how you look and what you're wearing. And then all the comments that come in on that is like, well, I would, or well, I wouldn't. And you're like, really? Is this a national paper? So as Simon says, total rag. One step up from the Sun. But possibly the Sun has got better pictures. But the Mail is just wraps itself up in I'm a real newspaper, but not. No. That's it, Simon. Yeah, that what news is there is skewed, but it's also kind of hidden. And you wouldn't know what was true and what wasn't. I mean, I've seen journalists firsthand. I think I've told you this. We were at a press conference with some national papers. We were there representing a beach soccer website. And they were supposedly interviewing Eric Cantona. One of them had come along. He was the journalist, air quotes, and the photographer. And the journalist actually said 10 minutes before Eric walked in the room, piece is already written, just get some pickies. And I thought, well, how do you know what he's going to say? He had written it. And they were then started, it was terrible. And then when it came out, I said to Mike, we've got to make sure we buy that paper when it comes out. We bought the paper. We were there. We had an audio recording of the entire press conference. We had photographs of the entire press conference. What they said was nothing like what had happened. We were just incredulous. We told the absolute truth exactly as it was. Eric said this, Eric said that. Because it's not about our interpretation of it. It's what he actually said that was the important thing. The year after, Eric he was in a bit of a mood. He'd had a terrible night with people singing under his window so he couldn't get any sleep. The team, the French team that he was the captain of, wanted a photograph of themselves with Eric there, as like, I played on the same team as Eric Cantona, something for posterity, for themselves. And he'd called the press conference off. He wasn't having any press there at all. And he spots me and points at me and says, only her. Now, he'd known me since he was playing at Old Trafford. He'd seen me at other beach soccer stuff. He'd probably read what we wrote, which was bang on accurate. That makes a difference the following year when he won't have a bar of anybody. He only had me in and I was a nervous wreck. I'm like, oh my God, I'm taking the one and only official photograph of the French national beach soccer team. And it's got to be damn good. And he was in such a mood, I had like 2 seconds to get the shot. And I knew that because many years before he'd had a word with the United photographer. Remember when he was in a mood after his FA ban? And the official club photographer toddled along and he was supposed to be doing like an Eric's coming back shoot. And Eric gave him like 10 seconds and he said, are you a good photographer? And the photographer went, yeah. He said, well, you won't need more than 2 shots then, will you? And that was it. You got 2 shots and that was it. So I knew as I went in there what to expect. But being truthful does matter. And those papers, no. They bear no relation to what actually happens. What worried me was that story, I knew the truth and I could compare what I knew with what was in the paper. 99% of it was complete lies. But if I was to read in that paper another story that I didn't have any prior knowledge of, at the back of my mind is the fact, well, 99% of it's going to be untrue, but which is the 1% that's right? And you don't know. So I totally agree with Simon. It's dangerous, just dangerous. Serious story about financial discussions for neonatal units, and the comment is about the designer brand of the doctor's shoes and how much her house costs. Didn't they do that when Theresa May was Prime Minister and they did the legs have it, a comparison between her legs and Nicola Sturgeon's? I can honestly say they've not done a comparison between Nicola Sturgeon and Boris. I'm not sure why. I mean, we've got pictures of Boris's legs. Do you remember the flowery underwear he had on? Don't ask. Just don't. You thought they were just put on by the internet. You get so much trash on the internet. Don't go near the Daily Mail. The Daily Mail on the internet is even worse than the Daily Mail for real. And that is bad enough. Believe me. Look at this star. Look how old they look now. Yep, there's this. How old they look now. How great they look now, how much weight they've lost, how much weight they've put on. I mean, it's literally just like tick the box. That's what we're doing this week with old stuff. It's very clickbaitish and I'm not quite sure why they would do that. I often think as we look back at newspapers reporting on things from like the 1940s and the 50s, how accurate are they? Because they're portrayed as like a mirror of the time. Or like a time tunnel into what it actually was like. But is that true? Because if what we've got now is forever held up as being, you know, this was what people were thinking during the COVID crisis. No, it's not. It certainly doesn't represent what I think and what many of you think. It's just complete twaddle. And yet, 100 years from now, that will be what's left. I hope a lot of the blogs and stuff that will still be there, what people were actually thinking, to provide like resources for people to research, not just these newspapers, because they're just lies, damn lies, and even more. Most of the mainstream media, you've caught out in outright lies on stories that I personally knew about. That's what I'm saying. They just lie. They just lie for their own agenda or whatever. Hello, Sarah. Just finished teaching. Exactly. Hope it was a good class. Yes, Mike's still sneezing, but that's probably the garbage he's been eating, isn't it, dear? Not looking impressed by that one. Do you want to share what you've been eating or not?
No.
No, not saying a thing. Not a thing. But there was some Christmas clearance going on, wasn't there?
A bit.
Little bit of Christmas clearance going on. That's all we'll say. Christmas clearance. So what are we all doing this week? Are we back into the swing of it yet or not? Is everybody down to inbox zero? Or is that just like, no, not bothered? I'm nowhere near inbox zero at the moment. Don't care. Don't care. Keep getting things in. So I've got, I have got things to sort out. I've got bills that are due like the second week. So I need to sort those out. Got Friday to prep for. And a load of other stuff to sort out. So, and tomorrow, should we do the dun 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 dun? Mike's back at work. How did that pass so quickly, Mike?
I don't know.
And that was with two extra days.
Mm.
22 days holiday all taken together. And it seems like yesterday.
Well, I was actually in this morning for an hour.
Yes, well, you get that back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or whenever you want. Oh, Kim's iPad arrived. You'll see it in 3 weeks. Oh, no. Do you know, what would have been great for somebody to develop is a box that you could put something in, press a button and it decovids it. That would be amazing. Oh, no, because there's a COVID cave. Share your COVID cave, Kim. That's where the Kindle went for 3 weeks while it was agonising. We wash everything. But did UPS put it in the COVID cave or did you transport it to the COVID cave? It's where the COVID items go to de-COVID. It's all very scientific here, you know. Actually, I needed last week when I was doing the show, I said to Mike, I can't fathom this. I plugged in, I've got two webcams. I have one webcam that broadcasts the unboxing to you and I have another one that records it. And I said, I don't understand this. The cable was long enough last week and this week it's really tight. So I'm checking to see it's not wrapped around something. No, it wasn't. Like, why is it tighter this week? Anyway, I decided that what was needed, because it was getting to the dangerous stage, was an extension cable, which arrived on Saturday about 6 o'clock and has been in the COVID cave ever since. So I'm going to have to extricate that. And I think something else came on Sunday and that's still in the COVID cave.
It's three things down there.
COVID hygiene. Oh, I didn't know there was three.
Mm.
I shall have to investigate what they actually are. But, you know, sometimes it's actually desperate and I need it today and then I'm opening it with gloves and stuff. Oh, is the COVID cave full, Kim? Is there a lot of stuff in there still or have you managed to get some stuff out? We've got quite a haul that's out of its quarantine, but we've got these three items that are in its quarantine and two of them I'm going to actually need by the weekend. So I shall have to do the glove thing and clean them all. But it's a wise thing to do, isn't it? You can't be too careful these days, not with anything. Especially with the new variants flying around, which, you know, basically you can get by looking at somebody. So before supposedly listening to what they said, it was difficult to catch. Not even joking, that's what they said. Difficult to catch. But now, a lot less difficult to catch. So I think it's a wise idea. Not so much, only two or three boxes. That sounds like us at the moment, Kim. But we do have boxes that have been there a while, so we can do unboxings of those. What's fun with the unboxings is I can't remember what they were. Looking at it thinking, well, because Mike said I put a date on it. And I said, well, that's grand. But I can't remember what arrived what date. Then we're going back through the Amazon things. We're like, well, what date did that arrive? Oh, it's crazy. But, you know, it makes for a good unboxing. What's this? I've no idea. Let's go in and have a look what it is. Oh, we shall have to see how that goes, won't we? So, we can expect you to be seeing it around the 26th then. Around the 26th. Is that wise? Do you have a two-week turnaround if there's something wrong with it? That would put you in an awkward position, wouldn't it? Sometimes we have like a 16-day, they'll swap it. But after that, they'll repair it. So if you open it and the glass is broken, then you're looking at a repair, not an exchange. Over here, it's 16 days for that. Which you also have to bear in mind as well. It's a nightmare. It's a total nightmare. The COVID cave sounds like the 2020-2021 version of the Lucky Dip. You're not wrong, Paul. It pretty much is. We got out some stuff last week and I said to Mike, there's two of these and they're identical. One's addressed to you, one's addressed to me and they're as light as a feather. And Mike said, what does that mean? I said, probably Office 365 for next year. But it was a total guess. But it's certainly honing our skills, let's put it like that. Oh, my word. Well, I'm not sure what's happening tomorrow. There was talk of something happening. in terms of Boris saying something, but, you know, he said quite enough, so go and lie down somewhere, Boris. I don't expect there'll be much news in the way of, we're in a different type of lockdown. Not yet. But who knows what will happen? And anyway, it's a day nearer to Friday, which is after hours. So can't say fairer than that, can we? Two show Friday. And Mike will be back at work, so you can expect him to be grumpy. Grumpy Mike. Am I right, Mike?
No.
No, you're not going to be grumpy.
No.
He will be grumpy, trust me. He'll be quietly grumpy. That's what'll happen. Right, but for the moment, we will head off and leave you in some peace. Or we will be, if I can find everything that I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. Right, so for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me.
And goodnight from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.